Under NASA's Artemis program, Dynetics and Leidos will develop and build a new human landing system, advancing economic opportunities and paving the way for a sustained lunar economy. Learn more at DyneticsHLS.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into That Movie Show, presented by Showcase Cinema here on North Shore 104.9. It's another Saturday morning, and we're talking movies. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. Eddie, how are you doing today?
Oh, I am peachy keen.
we had quite a week of movie news, not movie awards, because it was a television awards with the Emmys, which is going to start. And we both saw movies. So
yeah.
When we get to the end, we'll tell you what we saw and what we thought of what we saw. But jumping right off, the Emmy Awards were earlier in the week. And is it just not being publicized? Are they not advertising them correctly? Because I completely forgot the Emmys were happening until you texted me.
Oh, I absolutely forgot the Emmys were on until I started watching it and texted you. I was like, oh, the Emmys are on. I should probably tell Mike.
What is going on with award shows, and they're just like not talking about them anymore? Because it used to be like you couldn't turn on the television without seeing, oh, and this Sunday and this Sunday and this, you know, Sunday. Yeah. Not that one, but
well, I think we have the Oscars to blame. Okay. Mostly because the last few years the Oscars have insisted upon themselves and have just gotten bloated and so self-gratifying. Right. That it's been the general public, like the people that are not us that love movies to the extent that we love movies, get nauseated by it. And then you throw in the very like high and mighty political views of the actors, you know, it can turn off a portion of the audience. Mm. And I think between those two, you know, the award shows themselves have kind of been like, I don't want to watch it. I don't care.
This one seemed a bit more fun, though.
That is the biggest takeaway that I had. So the Emmys this year decided to also opt for the hostless format, where there wasn't going to be a host that wasn't going to take you from segment to segment and have bits. Instead, we were just going to have a hodgepodge of people present a bunch of stuff to save time. I think from a runtime standpoint, definitely made sense. I believe they went from 8 to 11, which is what you would expect from this type of event, with as many awards as they have. Mm-hmm. And then I think that the bits that they did were all lighthearted and non-political. So I think that everybody had a much better time watching it as well.
Right. It was funny because I turned it on. It had already started, obviously, because you text me, you go, oh, the Emmys are. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go take a look. And right off the bat, in between the first award I saw, all of a sudden, Thomas Lennon shows up and he's just doing shtick. He's like the narrator of the Emmys, but in utterly hilarious fashion.
Oh, absolutely. His like little asides when people were coming up to the podium from accepting an award was hilarious. It was dumb and stupid and funny little nonsensical non sequiturs. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I think some of my favorites were definitely, let me see here. I think my favorite one was when SNL won their award, and he's announcing, he's like narrating over these people walking from their seats to the stage. So it's kind of like it's when music's playing, but I couldn't tell. I don't believe the live audience could hear it. I think it was just for our benefit.
It was definitely for our benefit. What he was doing was historically when an actor wins, they would say like, oh, so-and-so it was nominated 8 times the last time they, you know, just kind of like giving a brief, like, stat sheet of the person that won. And so instead of that being very dry and boring, he had hilarious things like what he did with the SNL cast.
Yeah, he said, let me see where it is here. I actually wrote this one down. So Saturday Night Live won their award, and he starts by going, there's going to be a whole bunch of people coming up to the stage right now, and Lorne Michaels will recognize 4, maybe 4 tops. And there was like 12 or 13 people on the stage. And yeah, so Lauren didn't recognize anybody.
It was really funny. Another funny one was something along the lines of, I tweeted out earlier this week that so-and-so was going to win. And I'm a bigger man to admit that I was wrong. Yep. Like, you know, stupid stuff like this. So-and-so takes more trips to the stage to accept an Emmy than they do to go to Trader Joe's.
I like that one. When John Oliver won his award, he was walking up and he goes, you know, John also voiced a digital toucan in that Talking Lions movie this year. Anyway.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, that type of stuff was really fun. Maya Rudolph had my favorite presenter bit of the evening, mm-hmm. where her and the gentleman she was presenting with, which his name escapes me at the moment.
It's Ike with like, and his last name has 47 consonants in it.
Yeah, right. That's
he's a very funny actor.
He is very, very funny, but his name definitely escapes me because it's nonsensical.
He was in the Neighbors movies, and he was in Blockers. Yeah. He's a very funny actor.
He is very funny. And so their bit was that earlier today or earlier that day, they had both had LASIK surgery.
Right.
So they couldn't read the teleprompter correctly. Mm-hmm. So they proceeded to just misname every single person in the best male actor for a comedy series actor. Yeah. It was so freaking funny.
Yeah, that was really good.
You know, because it's just like, oh, that's a very funny bit that in an award show that often finds itself being too serious was mm-hmm. very lighthearted.
And I was thrilled that Bill Hader actually won that award. I don't know if you've watched Barry on HBO.
Oh, it's so funny.
It is such a good show. It is an amazing show that him and Alec Berg created. It's awesome. It's one of the best shows. And I think they're in their third season, or they finished their third season. It's really, really, really well done. Absolutely deserved it. Another funny moment that didn't involve Thomas Lennon was the Outstanding Reality Competition series.
Yeah.
The presenters were Kim Kardashian and Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner. And again, I had to write these down. Kendall Jenner gets up to the podium and she said, and I quote, let me see, where is it here? We know, we being Kendall Jenner and Kim Kardashian, we know what it takes to make compelling television. And she paused for dramatic effect, and you could hear chuckles loud enough from the audience. And it's just like, come on. Come on. Don't take yourselves that serious. And then RuPaul's Drag Race won, and 87 people ran up on the stage.
Like, oh, of course.
Literally the entire mezzanine hit the stage. I don't know if they're all part of the show or they're all just having fun, but it was hilarious.
Oh, it was. You know, RuPaul's Drag Race, I don't watch it often. My parents do. Mm-hmm. And every single time that I see them watching it, it's always a good time. You know, that's just a good, fun show.
Is it really? I mean, I know nothing about it. Nothing about it.
Oh, it's America's Next Top Model and the other one where they design clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like basically those two mixed together, but everybody's dresses drag and drag.
Oh, interesting. Okay, fair enough. So what were some of your notable winners? What was something that stuck out to you?
The big thing that kind of stuck out to me is, as a whole, was just the domination of Amazon Prime original content. Mm-hmm. Between Fleabag and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Still a terrible name of a show.
Yeah. You know, and so that was really interesting to just show that TV's evolving, right? The head of the Academy of Arts and Sciences for television,
right.
He ended up getting up there and he talked about it. And he talked about how TV is changing and everything, you know, how we watch it and where we watch it. It's changing, and it's not just traditional cable television anymore. And, you know, between that and HBO, Game of Thrones winning, you know, best drama series, you know, it very much just shows what an awesome and complex, like, viewing age we're in, because I don't want to just, you know, say that to just strictly television, because it's the same with movies too, you know, just how accessible the creative medium is.
Right. Well, even taking it one step further, the winner of Outstanding Television Movie was Black Mirror's Bandersnatch, which was not only on a streaming service, but a choose-your-own-adventure movie. I don't know if you went through it.
I did. I went through it a couple of times.
It was awesome. Like, I spent a solid few hours on a Sunday afternoon just clicking around on trying different outcomes, and it was so cool and such a different approach to movie making. And I know that Netflix has done a couple of these, but I think this was the most popular of them. And it was just, it was wild. It's one of those things like, oh, I can't wait for them to do more of this.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's an otherwise, and I've always felt Netflix really, well, they do great original series. They've always kind of, in my opinion, fell a little bit short when it came to original movies, where it's like, you'll watch the movie and it's like, eh, okay. Whereas the series were always getting all the acclaim. And now with this, and I'm like, that's really, really, that's cool, different, and unique for a movie. I really hope they dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's, you know, there is so much left to go with all these streaming services as well, because the choose your own adventure concept is really cool. That's a really cool idea. And you're absolutely right. I think Netflix is leaving a lot on the table with, instead of opting to find quality original movies, you know, because they could have had Midsommar, you know what I mean? Like, that's a movie that they have the bandwidth and capital to go get, you know? And so, but instead they'll go and get, you know, a direct to DVD Bruce Willis movie, you know? And it's just like, just because Bruce Willis is in it doesn't mean it's going to be good.
Well, they do have The Irishman coming up in the fall.
Right. And so hopefully that's the beginning of a trend and not an exception.
Well, and apparently the runtime for the official runtime for The Irishman has been released. And I believe it's just shy of 46 hours. So that'll be good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a series.
But it's going to be released in theaters limitedly. So I hope it gets around here, because it's definitely, I mean, it's a Scorsese movie. Not only a Scorsese movie, but it's a Scorsese movie with the greats. With De Niro, with Pacino, with Pesci, with Keitel. You know, it's one of those ones that you want to see on the big screen.
Yeah. It's this weird mafia movie class reunion that we're having.
It really is. And of course, if you're going to see movies and you're going to go to the theater for movies, you should be getting your tickets with Showcase Subscribe. You see more movies a month with plans starting as low as $11.95. That's $11.95 per month. And you can pick your best subscription plan for you. You want an individual plan? They got that. You want a group plan? They have that as well. You can gift plans. It's so much better than going to the theater and getting like a gift certificate or something. Just get your friends a Showcase Subscribe membership. You can also buy tickets in advance. For example, you can get tickets to see Joker. Those tickets went on sale. You can get tickets to see the Maleficent sequel. You can get tickets to the Charlie's Angels reboot. All these tickets are in advance sales. You can also, there's no blackout dates. So first run movies, first night they come out. Ed, you went and saw Rambo.
Yeah, I did. You know, one of the best things about it was not Last Rambo Blood. Last Blood. It was not Rambo Last Blood. But the fact that I was just out to dinner and I just was like, oh, I want to see a movie. Right. And so I pulled up the Showcase Subscribe app. I saw a theater that was close to me. I went to the one down in Randolph, brand new, very fun movie theater. Got tickets to see Rambo Last Blood. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
And of course, you can see Eddie's full review on Rambo Last Blood by going to thatmovieshow.net. We not only do our full podcast every single week, which this last week we did Rambo First Blood. This coming week, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Dawn of the Dead, but we also now have a spinoff series. We have Eddie's Entertainment and Movies with Mike, and Eddie covered Rambo Last Blood. So go to thatmovieshow.net to check out that review. And of course, thatmovieshow.net, that movie show on North Shore 104.9 is proudly sponsored by Showcase Cinemas. We were talking about the Emmy Awards, and it's also now time, now that the Emmys are done, all the studios are getting into the Oscar buzz. They're going to start the campaigns, and I saw that Disney has updated their For Your Consideration website, and it is all about Endgame. They are going full on with the Avengers. My guess, they're going to be going for Best Picture, Best Directors. They're probably going to try to get Downey an actor nomination. We talked about this a little bit last year when Infinity War wasn't nominated, but Black Panther was. What are your thoughts now that we had some time to sit with Avengers Endgame? What are your thoughts on its chances? Nominations versus wins.
Yeah, I said it during the Academy Award stuff that we did last year or a few months ago or whenever the heck it was. Infinity War didn't get nominated and it should have. Black Panther got nominated so that Endgame could win.
Right. Now
I believe wholeheartedly, the way that I believe that the Academy Awards in the Best Picture category should be affected is it should be the best movie. Movies are made to entertain. So if nobody went to see your movie, it wasn't the best movie. Now, I don't think that box office numbers should count for everything because, something like the Emoji Movie makes a boatload of cash, whereas something like... I'm trying to think of like
The Irishman isn't going to make a ton of money because it's going to Netflix like 2 weeks after it hits theaters.
Right.
That would be a dollars and cents type of argument.
Right. And so I don't think that it's like quality needs to be assessed, but it does need to be brought into the conversation. Everybody saw Endgame. Most everybody that saw Endgame loved Endgame. So that's the best movie. It's the best movie because everybody liked it. It was very well made and it made all of the money.
Now, something we didn't anticipate when Endgame came out and when we were talking about Endgame, we did a full review, which is also on the website, thatmovieshow.net. Something we weren't anticipating that there might be two comic book movies up for these Oscars because Joker is a heavy contender for that.
I'm shocked. I don't think Joker the movie would need to be exceptional to be nominated. But if you told me that Joaquin Phoenix, that he got nominated, I'd believe it.
Okay. That's not the only Disney news because Disney has been making quite a bit of news lately. Bob Iger's memoirs, his biography, if you will, came out and people have just been nitpicking it left, right, and center. The biggest thing I've been seeing online is the portion where he talks about Disney acquiring Lucasfilms and Star Wars. And in particular, people are really getting upset about the, for lack of a better term, the treatment of George Lucas in the whole proceedings. Apparently, George was extremely upset that basically Disney was buying Star Wars on the condition that he give up creative control. And then when he agreed to it, he still was trying to be involved as a consultant or whatever on Force Awakens. And basically Disney was like, you know what? Thanks for all your ideas. We're going in a different direction with this. And that upset him. And he was very public about how he wasn't happy that Force Awakens was basically a New Hope reboot. It's a tough argument because if you were that, if it meant that much to you, if you held on to your property and it meant that much to you to continue your story, then I would say, why didn't George Lucas just make his story? He was very happy to take the $4 billion from Disney.
Oh, yeah, no, the way that I've always have heard about it, because you hear about George Lucas complaining about these sorts of things, and it's George Lucas wanted to have his cake and eat it, too. Yeah. And first of all, how dare you? How dare you, George Lucas? You gave us Jar Jar Binks, midichlorians, and sand. I hate sand.
And hours upon hours of Senate hearings.
Yeah, you know what? You do not... you, how dare you? How dare you? And so, like, I don't, if you're an actual Star Wars fan, the best thing that could have happened was Disney buying it, because there was a movie released called The People versus George Lucas.
Right.
You know, and, yeah. You know, so it's like the fans weren't happy with your creative direction. So, yeah, if you were way more in tune with everything that was going on and everything was peachy keen, you would have made the movies. But the franchise had been dormant since 2008, you know, maybe even before that, because I don't have when Revenge of the Sith was released.
I mean, either way, I think it breaks down to, as you were saying, that it's like, if there was enough faith in George Lucas and there was enough faith in his storyline going forward, Disney probably would have just been like, okay, here's $100 million, go make your movie, as opposed to, here's $4 billion, give us the property.
Right.
And now not only do we have new Star Wars movies, we have the likes of Rogue One, which was a great movie. We also have, you know, we're wrapping up the saga. The 9th Star Wars film is coming out at the end of the year. But, oh, there's also this thing on both coasts called Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, and they're one of the biggest things that's going to be a day one release for the Disney Plus streaming service is Mandalorian, which is the first real live action Star Wars television show.
Yeah, yeah, you know? And it looks insanely great.
Right, and so it's like, yeah, George, if you were still in charge, you know, yeah, I don't think we would have had this quality of stuff. And on top of all of that, I still go back to, yeah, you were real, real happy to take that $4 billion, weren't you, brother?
Oh, exactly. And the funniest thing always was when, I remember when, right after, I believe it was Last Jedi came out, it took 4 movies for them to make back the $4 billion.
Right.
In profits. So it's like, yeah, they're doing something right here. Like, as you said, it was dormant for a while and there wasn't any light in sight. It wasn't like, oh yeah, he'll get around to it. It's like, no, there wasn't Star Wars. It was like, that was it. Those were the 6 movies that we were going to get. And that was it. And now, I mean, we've had we're coming up on our 5th movie. We have a series coming out. We have two lands on either coast. It's revived. It's something that none of us who grew up with Star Wars ever thought was going to happen. So, I mean, I'm on the side of, hey, take your $4 billion and enjoy your retirement.
Yeah, man. Well, you know? And again, you're the reason why, because like Empire Strikes Back comes out and you didn't have much to do with it. You get the reins back for Return of the Jedi. Now, I like Return of the Jedi, but a lot of people point to that one as like, George Lucas, you dropped the ball on it.
You missed the step.
And then you made episodes 1, 2, and 3, and Jar Jar Binks is flat out racist. Midichlorians is the dumbest concept in the world.
Yeah.
And then the whole Anakin Skywalker sand nonsense.
He just didn't like sand.
It's coarse. It gets everywhere.
He's not a beach guy.
No.
Well, that movie show is sponsored by Showcase Cinemas here on North Shore 104.9. And we always tell you about their Bring Backs program, where they bring classic movies back to the theaters. Coming up let's see. Coming up, actually, it's not really it's kind of a bring back now, because they only released it for 3 nights, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about it in a minute. But Rob Zombie's 3 from Hell, in 3 nights with 3 screenings, it was only 1 screening per night, made over $2 million. So, and there was so much demand for the tickets that they're bringing it back for 1 more night, and it's going to be October 14th, which is the day before it gets released into all the home entertainments, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, on demand, etc. So if you do want to see 3 from Hell on the big screen, go to showcasecinemas.com, hit the events tab, and grab tickets to that. Also, stuff like the 40th anniversary of Alien, Shutter Island, which was actually filmed up here on the North Shore. And then coming later in the year, which I know Eddie's going to be excited for, Matrix. But not only Matrix is being brought back to the big screen, it's being brought back in 4D. Motion Matrix.
It's a very punchy movie.
So go to showcasecinemas.com, hit the events tab, and grab you some tickets to the Bring Back programs. Showcase Cinemas proudly presents That Movie Show here on North Shore 104.9. And I mentioned Three from Hell. I did see it last week on one of the screenings. And unfortunately, this past week, Sid Haig, who was the star of Three from Hell, House of a Thousand Corpses, and The Devil's Rejects, he played Captain Spaulding. He passed away at 80 years old this past week. And Sid Haig is one of those actors that I was talking actually on another show on North Shore 104.9, Breaking Bread with Joe Pianodosi, and we were talking about movies, and I said, I'm a huge fan of, for lack of a better term, trash cinema. And okay, going back to the exploitation movies of the 70s, or the blaxploitation movies of the 70s, and Sid Haig was in a lot of those. He's had a career in film that spans over 50 years and almost 150 films. He was in the original Star Trek series. He was in Gunsmoke. He was in the Mission Impossible TV show. Speaking of George Lucas, he was in THX 1138. And then he got hooked up with Jack Hill, who did movies like Coffee and Foxy Brown and Black Mama, White Mama. And he was a fixture in those exploitation movies of the 70s. And then fast forward to where he was basically retiring from acting, and directors like Quentin Tarantino come along and put him in Jackie Brown and Kill Bill 2. And then Rob Zombie puts him in House of a Thousand Corpses and basically rejuvenates the back end of his 20 years, the last 20 years of his life, because House of a Thousand Corpses was made in 2000 when he created Captain Spaulding. And then Devil's Rejects comes, and he's been going to the conventions. And from what I've heard, he's one of the nicest people to meet as far as these convention are concerned. And he showed up to all of them. He gets in the clown makeup. He poses for photos. He chats with fans. He sounded like he was a genuinely great human being. And we talked earlier about our spinoff series, Eddie's Entertainment and Movies with Mike. And if you go to thatmovieshow.net right now, you can find my review of Sid Haig's final performance in Three from Hell. It was a very small role, despite being one of the main stars of the film, because, as Rob Zombie pointed out in the documentary, in the making of, basically Sid came to him 2 weeks before they started filming and was like, look, man, I just physically can't do this. And it's interesting. I get into a little bit more detail on the review, but Rob had to basically quickly pivot and rewrite almost the entire movie of Three from Hell, just to get Sid in, but not have him be in a lot of the movie. So go to thatmovieshow.net and check out that review. And for our recommendations this week, Eddie, what do you got?
So like I said earlier in the show, I went and saw Rambo Last Blood. If you listen to my review that you can find at thatmovieshow.net or on our Facebook page, That Movie Show TV, on Facebook, you find it, it's up there, and it's my review. One of the things that I talk about in that review is that John Rambo is one of the tentpole 80s action heroes. I was, you'll hear all of my thoughts about Rambo Last Blood, but I couldn't stop thinking about the Terminator, who is another one of those tentpoles. And so Adobe is actually running a contest right now, because as Terminator Dark Fate comes closer, they're doing a contest where you actually get to recut the Terminator Dark Fate trailer. And along with a bunch of prizes and everything, you get to actually have your trailer shown on television. So you can head over to Adobe, and they'll, Adobe Dark, just Google Adobe Dark Fate. You'll find it if that's what you're into, or tweet at me at the Eddie McCabe and I'll point you in the direction. But because of all of that, I'm going to recommend one of the best movie sequels of all time, T2, Terminator Judgment Day.
There you go, T2. And to wrap up, for my recommendation, it's a reboot that most people don't even remember is a reboot. I recently watched the Alec Baldwin roast on Comedy Central. I can say it wasn't one of their better roasts. Nikki Glaser was the best part of it. She absolutely killed. The rest of them were wildly mediocre. But it got me thinking about one of my favorite Alec Baldwin movies, and it was 1994's The Getaway. It's the remake of the Sam Peckinpah movie starring Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw. And this one stars Alec Baldwin and his then-wife Kim Basinger, along with James Woods and Michael Madsen and Jennifer Tilly. And it's just one of those like underrated, lost movies in the 90s, because 94 was a giant year for films, and this was one of those smaller action-y type of movies, and definitely a throwback to those 70s road movies. So The Getaway from 1994 and Terminator 2 are our recommendations. Thank you for joining us on another Saturday here on That Movie Show, presented by Showcase Cinemas on North Shore 104.9. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag the That Movie Show, and go to thatmovieshow.net for all of our reviews. And we'll see you next week at the movies.
Bye, everybody.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic. You're just a good...
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.